Welcome to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprise throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour podcast recorded every week at the studios of historic WJR Radio in Detroit. Only the second hour of our show, which features listeners' questions, is heard live from 5 to 6 p.m. every Saturday on WJR. However, both hours of the show are available each week on this podcast and are streamed to our affiliates across the state of Michigan. We're also proud to be part of Detroit's newest and fastest-growing podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program, and we got a great one lined up for you. It's our Super Shopper Special. And with us in studio is going to be Mr. Rick Broida, who is our gadget guy and also carries the moniker of being the cheapskate. In other words, we're going to get you out for some good buys for a very little money, or as little as we possibly can. And that's for all the holiday season coming up. That's all on the Internet Advisor. 2 hours of great program for you. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, the first of our 2 hours, and thank you for joining us. Hope you get to hear both of the hours, by the way. In case you're on one of our affiliates and you don't get to hear both of them on the air, you can go to internetadvisor.net and download the entire blog that has all 2 hours on it. But this first hour, I am looking forward to. We got our studios full of our usual group of suspects in here. Gary Baker is here. Gary, good to have you in.
It's great to be here.
And back from the snow capital of Michigan, Ed Rudell.
The melted snow cap, but yes.
Last weekend we had to...
I had to Skype in.
You had to Skype in, yeah, You were working on, 15 inches of snow, I think, at the time.
Yes. Yeah, and people forgot how to drive. And, you know, I was reminded, all these cars that we have Chargers and Mustangs and stuff like that, they're all rear-wheel drive, and they're in the ditch.
Remember what it used to be like.
Most
of us still have front-wheel drive, so that helps a little.
Back from the ice capital, we have... We have Mr. Cal Carson. Cal, good to have you with us.
Oh, it's so good to be back. And it was great. Last weekend, I was in Kalamazoo for the Kalamazoo Kickoff Classic. That was the 16th year. It's synchronized skating. And I just want to say this to a good friend of mine. She is the chief referee. Her name is...
eluding me right now.
At any rate, though, she has been the chief referee for the last 16 years. Started off the competition the first year with 13 teams, and this year we had 142 teams. And her name is Hannelore Murphy. I'm sorry.
There you go.
And Cal, you know, it's amazing that your daughter was a figure skater, got you into this. You could do some of the technology behind what they needed, got involved in helping out. She's long gone, retired from the sport, off growing up and doing what
young folks do.
And you're still helping out.
Yeah, it's kind of my way of giving back to the sport, but I don't know how long I'm supposed to give. But, you know, it's really, really great to do it. I enjoy it. There's a lot of other parents who are just like me that their kids have, you know, they're gone off doing something else. And we all look at each other and say, why are we here?
But why are we still here?
It's just a great camaraderie of people. You get to meet a lot of neat people, and you get to go to a lot of different places. I've got to travel all over the country with it, it's been fun.
Glad to have you back in studio, though. Speaking of proud parents, he's not only the gadget guy and the cheapskate, Mr. Rick Broida is in here as a very proud parent as well, I understand.
I am.
All week long, there we go, all week long, we've been watching Facebook, and you have been in New York, the Big Apple.
Yes, I was tagging along with the Walled Lake Central Marching Band, of which my daughter is a member, and they were one of just six bands, high school bands across the country, that were invited to march in the parade. Only the second time a band from Michigan has had that honor.
Oh, really?
Yes, so this was quite historic.
You and your lovely wife, Shauna, was there, and all the rest of the family was there, too.
We brought the whole crew, and it was great.
Now, is your son involved in the band?
He's not quite to high school yet, so no.
Okay, no. But I saw the piece that was on Facebook, and I think it's still up there.
Yes.
Al Roker, with the rest of the crew there, is introducing the band from Michigan, and they played a piece from Rachmaninoff, I think? Tchaikovsky.
Stravinsky. Firebird Suite, yes.
One of them Russians. But it was really well done and very impressive to see them there. Second time, huh?
Yeah. Yes. We were super excited. It was just a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and the kids had a great time. They got to see all the sights, and we got to see all the sights, and it was really fantastic.
I heard that Al Roker was saying that they recruited some 300 and how many parents chaperones that went?
We don't know where he got that number from. We're all kind of chuckling over it because there's about 180 or 190 kids in the band itself.
Yeah,
so 330 odd chaperones he mentioned. Obviously, we don't have like two chaperones per kid. So somewhere he got his numbers off a little bit.
It was
quite an undertaking. There were a lot of great help from parents and just people volunteering, and it was
the logistics of that must have been crazy. When did you start in order to be in the parade? When did the kids have to marshal, and where did they marshal?
Oh my goodness, the kids were up and ready to go at 2:30 in the morning.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, they were outside at 4 for a practice run, right down in Herald Square. So I'm sure they woke up everybody like within
it's New York,
a couple blocks.
Everybody's awake anyway,
and
never sleeps.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
And so it was the parade started at 9, and from where we were, it was close to 10 o'clock before the parade even reached us. So you know, it goes for a couple hours, and just very impressive, Something to see.
I mean, the kids were keyed up and were all wired out from 2 o'clock in the morning until 10, went 8 hours until they got to perform.
Yeah, and then they promptly fell asleep where they stood.
I bet they did. So it made chaperoning a lot easier because they were whipped.
Yes.
I know my grandchildren were involved in the Ferndale Eagles marching band, which has been a state champion marching band in their division, which is like the fourth flight, and you were in the top flight of schools there. Walled Lake Central, were you the number one group?
Walled Lake Central finished number two.
Number
in
two
the state,
in the state in that first flight.
Right.
Folks, that is impressive because it's a huge, it goes by the size of the schools, and your school up there would have been one of the bigger ones. Mm-hmm. But what's fascinating to see, guys, is the precision with which they perform. Now, you would have seen this, Cal, in terms of skating, seeing all that precision out there. To have this many kids, how many would have been on the street in that group at one time?
Oh, the band is almost 200 strong. So, I mean, that's, it's a lot of kids.
And amazing.
And your daughter's a drummer, too. So that makes it
She's in percussion. And so she got to, you know, march with the drum
makes
and everything.
It really fun because that you can tell how much precision there is. Then, right.
Oh, it's incredible.
And they work really hard.
Well, when you come back, we are going to have a shopper special, folks. Get your bags ready. Get ready to take some notes. Rick, we're going to talk about shopping online and off in this holiday season. And then as the resident cheapskate, we're looking for some hints about how to get the best deals as well. All that coming up on this special edition of the Internet Advisor. Get ready to shop till you drop. This is what you call a full house today. We got all three of my partners here, the tech experts, and Gary Baker as well in studio here, along with Rick Broida, who is our shopping expert. Actually, we call him the gadget guy because when we have new gadgets release, and heaven help us, they're constantly coming, we call Rick in on a monthly basis to tell us about some of the biggest ones that are out there. But also, Rick, you are a columnist and publish a column called The Cheapskate as well. That's what's seen it, I think, too, isn't it?
Yes, just completed just celebrated, I guess, my 8th anniversary of doing that.
Congratulations.
I can't believe.
And you saved us all a lot of money over the years.
I hope so. Thank you for that.
Let me tell you about saving money in this guy. You know, here it goes, right? 2 weeks ago, I had to go and get some more ink cartridges for my printer that I take with me when I go and do the skating stuff because we have to tabulate scores and print them off. So I'm in the store and I'm about to purchase some more cartridges, and you have to buy them in a set because when one runs out, the other one's going to be behind it. I've got about $35 worth of cartridges in my hand.
Yikes.
I'm walking to the door, And as I'm going to the door, I pass a laser printer that's sitting over to the side. The laser printer is for $24. $24
wow.
with a cartridge in it.
Oh, my Lord.
And it prints faster than my inkjet. And I'm saying to myself, what should I do? Well, I'll get rid of these inkjet cartridges. I'm going to get this printer. But wait, it's too cheap. It's not a brand I'm associated with. Let me just take a quick peek on my phone on the internet and see what's going on with it. And when I do the search, in November, I find out in January that Mr. Broider had already wrote a column on this particular printer. He didn't say it was bad. He didn't say it was great. He said it was worth the money. Buyer beware, of course. And it was the one by Pantom.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is that sounds familiar. Pantom, I think?
Yes, and the guy is like on the front edge of everything, and you got to give him credit for that. I went ahead
and credit for something.
I went ahead and bought the printer based upon the information that I got off Rick's column and some other information as well. Used it, been using it profusely, and the thing really works well for $25. It's a great printer. Matter of fact, the refill cartridge is $30. I'm thinking about going back, buying another printer, throwing the printer away so I'll have a cartridge.
That's the sad truth.
That is the sad truth.
Yeah, but
you're living La Vida cheapskate.
Yeah. But that's just to say that when you hear stuff from Rick, 9 times out of 10, I'm sure he's not perfect. But most of the time,
I'll take he's 9 out of 10. That's pretty good.
He's right on the money. He's got some
looking
great
back
things.
At Shauna sitting here in the studio, and she's going, "Yeah, he's not perfect."
He's looking mortified that we're
listen,
even discussing.
Listen,
that.
Guys, listen. This is not fair because if we had our wives behind us, heaven knows what
would
the stories would be
same
telling.
Thing. In fact, worse. Yes, of course.
I'm curious just to start this ad. Where do you start shopping? Now, maybe a strange question to ask.
Where do I start shopping for what?
Anything. Where do you start shopping?
Amazon.
Do you go in?
Nine times out of ten, it's Amazon. Yeah.
You know, my son, I was going to get this GoPro camera.
Right.
Activon. And it was a really great deal. Marked down from like $499 down to $99, I thought. And a lot of people bought them. Over 1,000 were purchased.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I thought, wow, that's really good. I said, you know what? I wonder what if I wait a little bit longer. He doesn't really need it now. I'll go to Amazon, see how much more I'm going to have to pay later on when it's not on sale on Groupon. Instead of $99 on Groupon, it was $89 on Amazon all year long.
Yeah, right? not uncommon. In fact, a lot of times you'll see Groupon deals that that look pretty sweet, you know, and as it happens, they're pretty mediocre most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's always good to price compare, so good tip, Gary.
So Amazon is
I can write for the blog.
Hey, I'm curious, Ed, you shop a lot on, is it eBay that you look a lot for?
No, not me. I mean, no, Amazon. I haven't done eBay since the 90s.
Do you check prices there when you're looking for, I know sometimes you're looking for a part. You know, a specific part.
Yeah, automobile parts. So I go to A1 Auto Parts or Rock Auto, and they have an excellent interface for searching for automobile parts. Or if I go to, like, my local mom and pop or AutoZone place, and I could shop there. But I find that on Amazon, a lot of times, I'll pay a half or a third the cost for struts and, you know, parts. That
That's
I need for my not tires.
Get it in 2 days.
And get it in 2 days.
Really
and the UPS guy loves me. No,
and I heard that we just heard from our postman that this Christmas now the U.S. Postal Service is delivering on Sundays for Amazon.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
I did.
And we heard this directly from one of the postmen was talking about that because my wife said, "I saw a postal truck out on Sundays." He says, "Yes, you did."
And 8 days a week. Wow.
We're delivering for Amazon now, so it's
Amazon might as well just buy the post office and be done with it.
That's right.
Really,
and start making a profit.
Weren't they going to drone delivery?
You know what? I keep hearing. After everyone thought that was a joke, I keep hearing more and more they're testing it here. They're going to do it there. It's such a terrible idea.
It is a terrible
Maybe
idea.
I will eat my words someday, but oh my gosh, from the Department of What Could Possibly Go Wrong, drones falling out of the sky or boxes being dropped on people's heads. Like, come on, are you kidding?
Dateline, Detroit, freezer falls from sky. Film 11.
90-inch TV. Sniper takes out drone delivery.
Cal, where do you begin your search if you're looking for something?
I normally will start off with Google, and I'll let that go out and look around for stuff that I'm looking for. Normally, a lot of stuff, it depends on what I'm looking for. A lot of technology, I'll go to Tiger Direct. It's generally has a pretty good deal going on out there. If I'm buying cables, wires, connectors, anything to do with networking of any type, it's monoprice.com.
Monoprice?
Monoprice. Yeah, just a great place to buy. They have good quality
mono
cable.
Mono or mana?
Mono. M-O-N-O.
As in mono a mono.
Okay.
Yeah. And they used to have good quality stuff, and the prices are very, very reasonable.
Yeah. If you're looking for HDMI cables, for example, mono prices are a great place to go.
Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons I ask this question is because people are going to be shopping for all sorts of stuff with this holiday season coming up, and it can be kind of confusing about where do you start to find something. I decide that I want to buy a tablet, and so where do I start? I hear of sites like Camel. What's that good for? Is that good?
That's a great question. Camel is actually a kind of a price tracking site that will give you price histories for any given product. So, and specifically for Amazon. I'm pretty sure it's limited to Amazon. So if you're in the market for, say, a GoPro camera, and you want to know historically what the price is now compared to what it was, say, 6 months ago, you just basically type in the name or paste in the URL from Amazon, and Camel will spit out a history for you on a graph, so you can kind of see the highs, the lows, and get sort of an idea, historically, has it been less? Is it, expected to go more? And so it's a great research tool.
How about review sites? Mm-hmm. How do they fit into the process of looking for something?
Well, for me, of course, it's going to start with CNET.
Right.
got a plug, a little bit there.
Right.
So, I always think it's a very good idea to check all kinds of reviews, CNET and elsewhere. Any given product name you can Google and then tag on review at the end. But I'm a big believer in crowdsourced reviews as well. And Amazon is an incomparable resource for that, because a professional reviewer might look at certain things that are not important to you or what have you. But in terms of real world user experience, you cannot beat the people who leave reviews on Amazon. Sometimes they have good things to say, sometimes not good, but it's a lot of times it's things that you wouldn't have even thought of to ask. And
which end do you look at, the positive review or the negative review?
I look at the average, of course. I mean, if there's a product I'm looking at that has 2 or 3 stars, it's just not getting it.
Obviously.
Not getting it. If something has 4 stars or better, I'm very inclined to think this is probably okay. You got to take everything with a grain of salt. For certain products, if you see couple dozen reviews and they are all just off the charts awesome, that's when I start looking to see, did anyone, does this say I was given this product in exchange for a review? Because a lot of times reviewers will disclose that, and a lot of times these companies will do that.
Don't you have the problem too of kind of bots that are out there? People are, in other words, will go out and will flood a site with positive reviews for their places. Is that right?
It happens. It happens. Mm-hmm. And there's, again, you just have to sort of take everything with a grain of salt, and you can sort of, I think, tell if something is an honest, legitimate review or not. But it's really important. It's a great thing to that you brought it up, because that's really how you can make the most informed decision, and you want to do that.
Yeah, because I find that I look at the negatives because I want to find out what problems they have.
Absolutely.
As well as the positives. Right. Hey, we're going to come back. We're going to continue to talk about how to do some shopping and some really good shopping with Rick Broida, the Gadget Guy and the Cheapskate, on this special edition of the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. We're talking about shop till you drop. And a lot of people will be doing that in Cyber Monday. For those of you who will hear this before that day, actually, that day is kind of Rick Broida. That day really doesn't exist anymore in reality.
Cyber Monday, Cyber Sunday, Cyber Saturday. It's every day is cyber everything.
It's like peanut butter. It's gotten spread thin over a lot of areas.
That's right.
Well, we don't have to go do our shopping at work on the following Monday we did back when people had internet at work but not at home.
Yeah, do you remember Amazon's thing over the summer where they had their big Black Friday in July or whatever it was, that
Christmas
turned out to be a huge colossal disaster.
Yeah, flop.
It's just, there's so many good deals all year round, and Ed is going to tell us about one of my favorites right now.
Well, let's talk about, an area that we've been in the break. Ed was saying, let's make sure we talk about this.
Let's talk about tablets, because the prices have come down so far. I mean, I've seen where you can buy Windows tablets running Windows 10 for $100 for a 7-inch.
I think I sold one for $49.
And you got the Amazon has their own product line. Mm-hmm. So you have all these different platforms. You got the iPad, you have the Windows platforms, and you have the Android platforms
as well. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the general.
And Grandma, instead of buying socks, You know, she might go online and buy tablets for the grandkids. Who knows?
That is a very interesting point. So is that an area to kind of steer the beginners to?
Right. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think one of the most landmark products of the year, even though it's not a really new product, is Amazon's $50 Fire tablet, which is a 7-inch tablet, wow. You know, full color screen, expansion slot, full connectivity to Amazon's Prime subscription service.
Mm.
It's on the slow side. The screen resolution is on the low side. It is perfectly capable, especially for someone who has not had a tablet before and really just maybe kind of wants to test the waters. Somebody who couldn't afford to spend $200, $300, $400, $500 on an iPad. It's amazing to me.
Here's a question: is this, and guys, let's chime in maybe on this. We've got grandparents, et cetera, or older users who are out there who are maybe moving from an XP desktop kind of thing that they've been using. Is it wise to move them into the tablet? Is that a good place to go for email and the little bit of surfing they do?
That was the whole point that I wanted to get to, even before we delve too deep into this whole thing, is that what exactly is a tablet user? What are they going to use it for? Mm. You know, what is that target audience? Is it a person that's just doing email, browsing the internet, maybe want to look at a movie every now and then? But I think a lot of people don't realize that if you step into a tablet world, you're stepping out of the computer world. Because even though you can do a certain number of things on a tablet, you're not going to get that full, robust computer experience there on the tablet.
Even if you were to buy a Windows 10 tablet is decent in size, you might have to pay a couple $100, but is a tablet worth that rather than a $400 lower-end PC?
I think if you really want to do computing, you should be using a computer.
Your contention is you're not getting the same thing.
If you're going to consume data as opposed to create data, then a tablet is wonderful for that, because you can move her all over the house with it, take it whatever you want to do.
Stick it in your purse, yep.
If you got cellular into it, it's even greater. In that particular case, it's fine. So if you're consuming data, tablet's great. If you're creating data, you should be on PC.
Rick, what's your thought?
Definitely different strokes for different folks, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's no one-fits-all solution. You know, I've been a champion for a long while of especially seniors making the move from computer to tablet, just for the sake of simplicity, for speed, okay. for freedom from viruses. There's so many benefits to going to a tablet. Now, a 7-inch tablet is small for that sort of thing. Small.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I think you need at least something that's iPad size, and I guess I should say iPad Air size, or larger, so meaning upwards of a 10-inch screen is really a good form factor, and then you can pair it with a reasonably sized keyboard, and you can accomplish a lot of what you need to do, which is web browsing and email and Facebook and even limited video editing. I mean, there's really quite a lot that you can do on a tablet that you don't need a computer.
You know, a question for each of you, I guess, and I recommended this to my kids, and they like the idea of not having a mobile cellular plan with their tablet. They just had a Wi-Fi enabled tablet. That at times that they do need it, someplace where they can't get cellular, like my son uses it at school, he has it there. He has access to Wi-Fi at home. But if he happens to go somewhere where he doesn't have Wi-Fi, we have this Office 365 plan. And then with that, so he has that on his tablet as well. And then he also has our cell plan that where we share data, and he just takes and turns his phone into a hotspot and uses the tablet on that phone, because we don't run out of data. You know, we share it and have extra. What do you guys think about that? Does that make some sense?
Sure. I mean, why spend extra on a cellular enabled tablet, of which there are not that many to choose from, and you pay extra,
and it's what, $25 a month?
Pay an extra plan. Yeah, absolutely. Use your phone as a hotspot. Use a hotspot as a hotspot. But I wouldn't get a tablet that has that capability unless you really need it for some reason.
I was just using the hotspot with Ginny. She had her little laptop, which she's loving, this HP laptop that we got with Shane this last year. She's just loving the thing. And I turned my hotspot on. Boom, we were driving in the car. She could look at her email, and we're on our way.
I will say that, you know, those one or two rare occasions when I actually go on vacation away from the world and I want to separate myself from a cell phone, having cellular interface in the tablet is a handy thing to have, but you'd have to use it enough to be able to justify the expense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind giving a shout out since we're talking about the Amazon $50 tablet, and then the iPads way at the higher end. There is, you know, there are tablets in the middle a little bit, and I found one this year that I really like. I think it's probably my favorite tablet that's come out this year, actually, and that is the Lenovo YogaTab 3. And it's the 8-inch model. I think they have a 10-inch as well. But this is the Lenovo YogaTab 3 8.
8-inch.
Kind of an awkward name. Right. Yeah. And so it's an 8-inch tablet. Mm-hmm. It has a higher screen resolution than Amazon's cheapy tablet. Mm. But what I really like about it is the design. It has a kind of a cylindrical edge along one side, and that cylinder not only houses a much larger battery, this thing can actually run close to 20 hours on a charge, which is amazing, but it also has a kickstand, so you can actually pop out this little kickstand and prop it up for a very nice viewing angle for watching movies and whatnot. And the camera is built into that cylinder as well, and the camera rotates from one side to the other. So instead of having a decent rear camera and kind of a mediocre front-facing camera, now you have a single 8-megapixel camera that rotates front to back, and you have a good camera all the way around. It's really just a nice design. It's a little different because you have this like kind of bulkier edge, but I actually like that as a
because you can
grip,
hang on to it.
A good grip.
Exactly.
Right.
What's the retail price point?
So that's $169. It's a $169. It's an Android tablet, and it's expandable and comes with 16 gigs of storage. So it's a really nice option. I encourage people to look a little bit beyond Amazon's current offerings because they are really cut to the bone in terms of the hardware for obvious reasons because the price is so low. So I'm really liking that one.
That sounds like an excellent one, Ed, to have people step into tablets.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. Now, to change subjects, what about the, you know, those pill speaker systems? Mm. You know, Apple purchased Beats.
Yeah.
You know, that's another one of those great stocking stuffers that is, you know, reasonable. They're offered for $28 up to $200
Bluetooth
for the Bose.
Bluetooth
speaker sets.
You're talking about... Now, are we talking about Beats or Bose or...
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a variety of these.
Because there's nothing in either of those brands that's $28 that I'm
aware of. And Amazon offers them up.
Yeah. Amazon does offer some that are $28.58, you know, off-label brands.
So what can you expect to off-label?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bluetooth speakers,
yes.
And I do think that the Beats brand is woefully overpriced. I wouldn't buy one of those, but I see a lot of, and I share them on the Cheapskate fairly regularly, probably annoyingly regularly for a lot of readers. Bluetooth speaker deals that are, you know, $20, $30, $40 for really nice quality speakers that, you know, they're just little bricks, and they pair with your phone or your tablet, and you can put them anywhere, and they run for 6, 7, 8 hours on a charge. It's just like... It's great stocking stuffer. Yes. Great gift item.
But what was the price range?
Well, it depends on the size.
That's true.
But anywhere from $20 to $40, you can really get something very solid. For, you know, $40 to $60, you can get something quite good. If you're an audiophile, you're going to spend extra. You're going to get the good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not, and I just like to have the speaker.
What's the range on the Bluetooth?
About 30 feet usually.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can, you know, you can take your phone with you one room to another, and, you know, it probably won't
We use it in my car as a way of hooking up to books on tape.
Oh, yeah.
That are on my phone.
Sure.
And then by Bluetooth, boom, they're there. I could use it for music as well if I wanted as well.
Right. I won a Beats One pills at a conference that I went to. We take it to see my mother because she's a little hard of hearing. We put my daughter on FaceTime, but we set the pills right next to her, and she can actually hear my daughter. Now, we have to go get it from my son in his room, in his car, wherever, you know, so we could take it when we go see her. But anyway, it's great for a lot of reasons.
Hey, Rick, when you come back, I want to find out, we wrap things up with Rick Broidick here, some of the do's and don'ts of shopping, and maybe if you have some other special things you'd like to tell us about. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. We've been talking with Rick Broida, the gadget guy, who has been here helping us looking ahead to holiday shopping, or maybe you're right in the middle of it already. He's also the man who is the head of the Cheapskate column in CNET. And by the way, Rick, we find that there is a weekly, right?
Daily.
Oh, daily?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I didn't realize we had that riches of the daily.
Oh, every day. Every weekday.
You're out scouting. By the way, do you have a house full of all of these things? I had Shauna, his wife, nodding her head. Yes.
Shauna is nodding vigorously in the background. Yeah, I think it's the one thing she probably doesn't love about my job.
All the piles and piles. Stuff, eh?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a burden, but I'll bear it.
You'll bear it.
Somebody has to accept them.
You know, if you switch over from technology to apparel, you can change that entire thing.
I keep thinking I should be reviewing cars for a living and see how I do.
You know, Prada.com and start doing evals on bags. She'll love you to death.
Or add that into this as well. Hey, one thing before we go too much further here as we're closing things out, and this is kind of cart before the horse in some ways, but to get the money to be able to buy the new stuff, what do you suggest doing with our old stuff that we have, maybe hanging around, some old tech that is not that old but still worth some money?
You know, it's such a good question because I think you look, anybody nowadays has got probably a closet full of stuff, you know, whether it's printers or phones even, you know, and old gadgets that are just collecting dust. And, you know, if you head to eBay, you'll find that there is a market for a lot of this stuff. Newer items, of course, you can just sell outright or use a site called Gazelle or Glide or Swappa, which will basically kind of pair you up with a buyer. And you know, they take a small percentage of the sale, but it kind of gives you some protection that you might not get through eBay. Mm-hmm. They're kind of the middleman, I guess. And so yeah, you can get a few bucks at least for this stuff.
Just kind of quickly, Craigslist is missing from that. And Ed, I know you do a lot of shopping on Craigslist, but
I do a lot of shopping. I don't do a lot of selling.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think for Craigslist, it's almost a little bit too much hassle. You got to go out and meet somebody, or they come to you, you drive to them, or whatever. Okay. And it's just, you know, for certain things, I love Craigslist, but for selling old tech, I don't generally go that way.
You know, and we've had Craig Newmark on the show before.
Oh, wow.
And he lived here for 12 years in Detroit.
Did he really? Yep. I did not know that.
Yep. Right here, yeah. Wow. Ed, were you going to say something, Eddie?
No, it's just, I'm more of a stalker. I look for some key things on Craigslist, and I love looking through Craigslist free. Kels and I sometimes will race out of here trying to see if we can get that, you know, whatever that someone's giving away for free.
Yeah, I got to be honest. There's been a couple of times when I have just like went nuts and go like, wow, look at this. I was going to go out and spend $300 for that stack of wood and I can get it for free. And
if I could just get my truck backed up.
All you got to do is pick it up.
I vinyl sided my entire shed with free Craigslist.
Wasn't there a kid who once started with like almost nothing and worked his way up to a Porsche just by using,
yes,
was it Craigslist?
I think it was a trading thing.
Traded his way into a Porsche. Love it.
Hey, how about some of these things? I've heard that this is going to be a big season for drones.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, even last year, drones were getting to be huge, but the product category has just exploded, and it's certainly one of my favorite gadgets and toys to play with. The one I'm really hoping to find under the tree or menorah this year is the Millennium Falcon drone. Whoa. They actually have a model Millennium Falcon that has the four rotors kind of in the interior, and it looks like my 9-year-old self is just gotta have it. I gotta have it.
I wish I had a camera right now on it. It's just sparkle in his eye.
I love how the missus in the background is going,
God, not another drone. Got another closet full of drones already.
The cats love them. I mean, they just bat them right out of the air.
How about hoverboards?
Yeah.
That aren't really hoverboards.
Misnamed product category of the year. Hoverboards are these little two-wheeled scooters that you may be seeing. They're kind of like little tiny Segways.
I ran into one, yeah.
Yeah, and you just, I mean, they're literally kind of a two-wheeled front-facing skateboard that you balance on, and as you lean forward a little bit, you start moving forward, and you lean back, you start moving back, and you lean a little bit left or right, and you steer. And just back from my trip to New York, I saw a couple of people zipping around the streets on these things. Saw somebody zipping through the airport on one. I think this is going to be a huge year for that product category, even though they're not particularly practical necessarily, just fun. I just think it's a fun thing to kind of zip around on, and I'm dying to get my feet on one.
caught a guy downtown Royal Oak on one of those things too.
Yeah.
You know, so it took him a week or so before he really got comfortable with it.
Is that what he said?
Pretty athletic, you know, built, and he was like maybe in his early 30s. So it's not for the The gyroscopically challenged.
It's like it's like me trying to jump on a skateboard. I don't think I'd want to do that anymore.
No, because I'd jump off it real quick.
Yeah. Or fall off it.
It's got motors and batteries.
I like how Rick is like, it's got motors. Yeah, go ahead. Mrs. Broida, I would be calling New York Life if I was you.
The hospital, yeah.
Hey, one of the last things here. Coupons. Where do I go to find coupons? Because often it'll say, do you have a coupon for this particular thing?
Oh, Foster, you just brought up one of my favorite little cheapskate hacks of all time.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, you get to the checkout page for any given online store, and it says, yeah, do you have a coupon code? And what I will immediately do is open up another tab, and I will Google XYZ store coupon, and will then get taken to a site. Usually, there's a site called RetailMeNot.com that is a good source for coupons, and there are many others where, you know, not always, but often you can find a coupon code that is good for free shipping, it's good for, you know, 10% off $50, whatever, that you may not have known existed. And it's just like, you take that extra 30 seconds before you check out, you may just score yourself a little discount.
Now, see, here's the difference between a skilled coupon dude and me, because I do the same thing. I go to those sites and I have to go through 6,000. Oh, this one's void. This one's no longer good. This one's no longer good. And then you finally find one, and boy, I got that $1.95 knocked off that purchase.
As I said, it's you don't always score, and it's sometimes it can be a hassle, but it's worth the effort, I think.
Well, and some of the mobile apps, Coupon Sherpa and ones, they automatically do that for you and get to, you know, only current ones. And so there's some apps that do a really good job.
So, Rick, have you got your eye on anything particular for yourself?
Millennium Falcon drone.
Okay. Now, since we have your better half in the studio, anything in particular you have your eye on for other members of the family? Has the list gone out? You know, under the Hanukkah bush, or under the Christmas tree?
Why don't we just get you a Festivus pole and call it that?
Under the holiday tree, whatever it may be.
I know my son is definitely eager to try out a hoverboard as well. I got an e-bike this summer, an electric bike, and it wasn't like a day before he had taken it, and I never didn't see him again. He was off riding, which is too bad because I love that thing. So he will do the same with my hoverboard, I'm sure. But you know what? It's such a great year for tablets, for getting your first smartwatch, for you know, everything is so cheap. It's just it's quite a bounty.
Speaking of smartwatch, your wrists are naked.
My wrist is naked. Yeah, you want to know why?
Uh-oh.
I had the Pebble Time Steel, which
that's
loving.
That's right. You told us about that. Yeah.
And I am very angry at it right now because they recently pushed out a software update or a firmware update or maybe both, and has effectively rendered it broken.
It bricked your watch.
Stay paired to my iPhone. It's like it works one day and not the next. It is the most aggravating thing.
Ouch.
And I've had pairing issues with the Pebble since day one. And it's to the point now, I mean, I love this watch. And it lasts 10 days on a charge. It's just perfect. Exactly what I need. But it's functionally, it's just...
The Pebble is now a pebble.
So, yeah. Pebble is now a stone around my neck. And so I'm like, I texted a buddy of mine and I said, how are you liking your Apple Watch? Because I don't want to charge my watch every single day, but man, I just want something that's going to work consistently, and I know the Apple Watch will. So we'll see.
Rick, thank you so much for being in. It's always a ball having you
in
here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Shauna, thank you for coming as well and chaperoning this. We're going to take a break, folks, and when we come back on the other side, we've got a great program lined up. We're going to be talking with a gentleman who is introducing blazing fast connection speeds through his service in one of the big towers downtown, in the David Broderick Building and historic building of downtown Detroit. And then a lady who's got a great Advent calendar that is filled with every day up until Christmas, for those of you who celebrate Christmas, with random acts of kindness. It's a really neat thing. That'll be coming up in our second hour, along with some tech advice that we're handing out here as well. So lots more to listen to here on the Internet Advisor. Rick Broida and the guys, thanks so much for making this first hour fun. We'll be back with hour number two in just a bit.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. You'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details, And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now, let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Hello there. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, your co-host and producer. And got a lovely hour lined up for you here. We're going to be talking with Mike Brennan in just a minute about his headlines and MI Tech News and finding out what he's going to be talking about on M Squared TechCast coming up this week. And then we're also going to be talking with the gentleman who has got a blazing fast fiber delivery that is going into downtown Detroit, going to be transforming business down there. And we'll be finding out about creating an advent calendar as well. Well, we're all kind of in a tryptophan haze. That apparently is the what is it? The chemical that is released by turkey that has got us all
tryptophan?
Tryptophan, that's it. Yeah, we got us a little kind of dozy. It's got a mellow mood around here as we're getting into the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown. That was Ed Riddell. Cal Carson is here and Gary Baker as well. Guys, were you handing out, were you being force-pressed into technical help this weekend?
You know, actually, surprisingly, not for me. Everything seemed to work at our house. I had dish duty, but you know, happy to do that if somebody's going to cook. So
yeah, you know, so many people have transitioned to smart devices and tablets. Really, they're not doing the desktops and the laptops that require the support that they used to. You know, so it's a percentage numbers thing where, you know, it's just so few people have those devices.
Yeah. Yep, and Gene Fogle talked to me a little bit when I came in today, you know, does our news here at WJR. So we helped him with whether he wants to use Edge as an internet browser or wants to stay with Chrome.
I love it. And he's a great case for us. We come in, we hand out device before we get on the air.
Actually, I did have one chunk of tech over the weekend. Ah. It actually came from my wife, and she said to me, she goes, I've never used the convection portion of our new oven.
Oh.
How do you do this?
Oh.
And I said, okay, so fine. And I broke out the manual and programmed it. And we were able to turn, because we do the Thanksgiving parade every year. We help out with it.
Oh, that's right,
So we get up at 3 in the morning, and we're down there at 4:30, 5 o'clock, dress all the people, run them out there on the street, the whole shooting match. And then we come back home, and she cooks Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, after all that.
And so I said, you know, why don't you put it in the convection oven? She goes, I've never used that before. And I said, okay, fine.
It's like programming an alarm clock, right?
Yeah, so you go in, you program all the stuff in there. You know, the turkey was cooked in 2.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Yeah. A little less than, about half the time.
It puts a wonderful crisp skin on it. It just rips right through.
Because it moves the heat around. Wow.
Yeah. It was amazing. But it was beep, beep, beep.
And now, was it last year? You smoked a turkey last year, right?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it unintentionally or intentionally?
The hardest part about smoking a turkey is rolling it up in the cigarette paper.
Hey, we have Mike Brennan with us. That should be a... Oh, my word. Mike, welcome to the Thanksgiving weekend version of the Internet Advisor.
Hey, Mike, you probably smoke something from turkey once in a while. I'm just guessing.
Well, we're on radio, so I would not admit to anything. So,
Mike is the editor of MI Tech News, and Mike, this is kind of along the lines of our kidding around here, but one of your headlines is, Be My DD is offering designated driver service to avoid drunk driving, which is really kind of cool.
That was my public service announcement I did for them. They're a group out of Cleveland, actually, and the vice president of marketing approached me and said, hey, this is kind of a cool thing. And the cool part about it is it's not just they drive you home, they drive you and your car home.
They drive you and your car home.
So two of them show up, and one jumps in your car, and the other one follows, and $17.50 an hour, that's a whole lot cheaper than drunk driving, you know? So
yeah, I'd say. And where is that available then?
And right now in the Detroit metro area and Ann Arbor, they hope to expand it to more parts of Michigan soon, but they're still in 75 cities and 33 states. You know, they're starting. They're going for the big markets first, bigger.
That is extremely reasonable, $17.50 to get your car home as well as yourself. Yeah. And, boy, I thank heavens for that. I really appreciate that being out there. Let's see something else here. Oh, this is kind of an interesting one. How to build a successful mobile app. That's the focus of a boot camp coming up on December the 3rd.
Yeah, I think that's next Thursday. And MTAM, the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, Logic Solutions Automation Alley, and Keith Brophy's Michigan Small Business and not Technology Development Center, it's just Development Center. Mm. Anyway, they're all working together at Automation Alley on the 3rd, and this is aimed at not techies, but, you know, you got a business, you think you need a mobile app, but, boy, you just don't know what questions to ask. This is where you go, you know, to this boot camp.
I think I'm going to I'm going to head over for that one, because this is something that I'm very interested in for our program, is getting a mobile app. Hey, one thing I want to jump into kind of quickly before we lose our time here, and because there is a lot of our listeners are out in the west side of the state through our affiliates, and particularly in the Muskegon area, and I see that the Muskegon Business Incubator is ready for business.
Yeah, they have been doing a lot of energy-related projects, but their mandate also was, well, let's, you know, be an incubator for everybody else. And so now they're still going to do the energy stuff, but they're going to open it up to other small businesses, bring them in, you know, typical incubator stuff, show them how to do stuff, introduce them to the right people, and so that's good.
Excellent. Sounds wonderful. Now, one of the other things that you and Matt do, it's why it's called M Squared TechCast, is that the two of you get together on Monday afternoons at 3 o'clock, and you, Matt Rausch, and you have a regular program as a podcast, and people can listen to. And this week, you're going to be talking to some of our favorite ladies.
Yeah, well, actually, first we're going to start with Matt's going to be coming back from the Upper Peninsula, and I'm not real excited about this, but he's going to try to do the show from his cell phone. I go,
oh boy.
Yeah, so he has the first segment, but then what we're doing, the same thing we did with Richard Steenen and Dan Lorman, we're giving the ladies, the Diva Tech Talk ladies, two segments to introduce what they're doing, bring in their own guests. You know, we're just sort of tinkering around with the format. Going forward, they'll just get one segment, but, you know, the beginning to introduce it and all that, we're giving them two.
So, Mike, we can tell folks that they can go to mitechnews.com or to internetadvisor.net, and for free, put your email in there, and you can subscribe to this service. Thanks, Mike. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, and this is the holiday season. One of the holidays, Matt Prack. Probably one that the majority of Americans celebrate is Christmas, although there are many other holidays, Hanukkah, Festivus, I think Cal was saying before, that are celebrated by different cultures, etc. But I'm just delighted to have with us a lady who has put such a neat kind of a twist on the celebration of the holiday season. When I saw this website, I thought, I have got to have this lady on our program. Her name is Megan Schakowsky, and the website itself is called Coffee Cups and Crayons. Megan, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to have you here. And, you know, you came through, I think I was looking at Facebook, and somebody put your advent calendar on there with the random acts of kindness, and I thought, oh, actually, it's the random acts of Christmas kindness, so it's RAC.
Yeah.
For 2015, I thought, this is outstanding. Tell us a little bit about how you began your site, Coffee Cups and Crayons.
Well, thanks for having me. And honestly, the kindness calendar is one of our favorite things that we do all year long. My entire site is all about different kinds of kids' activities, simple boredom busters, learning activities, that kinds of stuff that people can do and still have time to, like, sit back and actually finish their coffee before it gets cold. But a couple years ago, we, as a family, we did all different sorts of things for Christmas. And then in 2012, I just randomly decided that we would do an act of kindness every day. Simple, easy, and it became like one of the best things we've ever done. So now, and then after that, we kind of added in acts of kindness into our everyday life and kind of sort of focus on them. So now we also share acts of kindness on the site as well, too.
I love it. And once you share, just give an example of some of the acts of kindness that you have in your calendar. And guys, I gave each one of you a copy of it so you could take a look at it as well. And by the way, we're going to make this a link to this available on our homepage as well, because I think it's such a neat concept. But give us some examples of these acts of kindness.
Well, I'll tell you, the goal was to pick one that would has an impact, but not be completely overwhelming. Because we all want to do all of these awesome things in the world, but to be honest with you, December is a busy time and you feel stressed. You want to pick something that you're going to stick with, but that is going to have an immediate impact in someone's life. Because honestly, when you are trying to get kids to do good, you want them to see the good right away. And you want them to feel the good right away so that they will continue it. It's very self-motivating.
Yes.
So some of the ones on the calendar are super simple, like give a compliment to a friend, feed the birds, and then some of them are kind of just super fun memory-building activities.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my kids' very favorites is to candy cane bomb a parking lot, where we've done it. I would love to do it at a big place like a shopping mall, but I don't know, with drivers and the Christmas shopping, mine are too little to really walk around those parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done it for the teachers at our school while they stay later than the kids do. So while they're still at work, we've gone into the parking lot and stuck notes and candy canes under all their cars. We've done it at the church we go to. We've done it in Disney at the grocery store on Christmas Eve and all different sorts of fun stuff. But then there's also ones that you probably would do anyway, like donate food to your local food pantry. We like smile at everyone you see.
Now that
little
one,
that
one I thought you could get in trouble with. People are going to start, what's going on? Why is that person smiling?
You just make them wonder what you're up to, right?
That's right.
It's a lot harder to do than you would actually think. So like, I smile at people all the time. And people will comment when they share things like that. Like, I see these every day. But really, you just think you do them every day. When you're really focusing on doing them, you find it's actually uncomfortable to break out of that kind of comfort zone and smile at people.
Yeah.
And it really, if it's your first time ever, like really trying to smile at everyone you see, you're not going to be good at it for the whole day. And that's okay. But it shows you just how often you are walking around town with a crazy look on your face when it's that hard to smile all day.
That's excellent. Oh, guys, by the way, do you have any suggestions for random acts of kindness?
Well, no, I'm looking at December 8th, and it says give someone a hug coupon. Well, if I'm going to go through all the trouble to give them the coupon, why don't I just hug them on the spot?
Because hugs are great anytime, right?
Yep.
But sometimes you need a hug. And if you could automatically, especially if you're a kid, or even if you're, like, say, I don't know, and, like, if you give it to one of your neighbors, right? If you're a little kid and you make a hug coupon for your neighbor, and they might not have kids at home anymore, and sometimes they just want a hug, then you can request one. And intentionally giving someone a hug sounds super easy, super simple, kind of like a throwaway gift. But to be honest with you, it's important. And when you make it that important that you're going to gift it to someone else and that they get to choose when to get it back, it really becomes such a bigger kind of gift.
That's neat.
It's almost like the thought that counts on that.
Yeah.
And you'll probably really bring a smile to someone's face when they receive a hug coupon.
I can imagine that in the building that we happen to live in, an apartment building, with some older senior citizens and some folks who have lived on their own and don't have a lot of family connections, that would be a wonderful gift to pass out.
Sure.
I mean, to be honest, like for some people, it really could be life-changing. I'm in a season of my life where I get hugs all day long. I have three little kids and 17 million of their friends. I was a teacher. I volunteer everywhere. So hugs are in abundance for me, but not everybody has that. So it's nice to give it to the people who might need it a little more.
Who helped you develop the list? By the way, we're talking with Megan Schakowsky, who is the person behind Coffee Cups and Crayons, is the name of the website. Who helped you develop this the list of ideas for the random acts of Christmas kindness?
Well, it's been kind of fine-tuned over the years. So the first year, we had no plan. We just decided we were going to do one every day, and we wrote it. I had these little white snowflake cutouts, and every time we did one, we wrote it on the snowflake and put it up in our kitchen so that we could see everything that we've done. And then after that, we kind of made a list and brainstormed from there, the kids and my husband and I, of what ones were super fun and what ones we don't think we do enough or would make a big impact or, you know, that we just particularly wanted to do. And then last year when I did the calendar, it was very popular and people are very passionate about it. So this year, before I kind of finalized the principle, I asked around. I posted on my blog, Facebook page. I asked my personal friends, and I got a lot of feedback to kind of sort of. And to be honest with you, I wish I could kind of switch some of them around even more. It's like something that you don't need to do it in order because you have to do what works for you.
Sure.
But these are sort of the most commonly loved and requested ones.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Now, by the way, your site not only has this link to the Random Acts of Christmas Kindness, but you have other things that are going on. I imagine these could be applied to a lot of the holidays that are coming up in different ways. But what are some of the other things? Just share with folks that people can find on your website, which is Coffee, Cups, and Crayons.
I'm all about the simple, right? I don't think that parenting should be any more difficult than it needs to be. We've got enough challenges that we just want to, like, do simple, fun things. So a lot of things that you could find on my website would be busy bags, which are these little activities you can put together in a bag for kids to play with over and over again. So you kind of make it once, and they're entertained for hours and hours. We do lots of, like, simple kitchen science experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And all sorts of different fun things like that. But another thing that we started to share a couple of years ago was almost every month we try to share an act of kindness that kids can do. Mm. And one of the most popular ones, and one of my kids' favorites, is the simplest thing you would really ever do. And you could do it on the way to your car when you're leaving work tonight. It's like leaving a heads up penny somewhere for someone to find. Because you think, like, you find a penny, heads up, you have good luck, right? It's super exciting. It's just one penny. But we've gone places and left them, like, scatter them all over for people to find, and then you can kind of hide and see them find them. And really, they're so excited. And all it costs is one penny. No prep work, just a penny.
I love it. Megan, these are all wonderful ideas. Now, you said you were a teacher at one time, right?
Yes, before having my oldest daughter, I used to teach. And now I just kind of do volunteer work.
Well, this
and
is
the website.
And the website as well. Has this turned into kind of a business for you as well?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It is very much like become a full-time business. And sadly, it kind of can totally replace my teaching income, which is not a great thing for teachers because it was easier to do this. It worked really well for us because I can make my own hours, and that's kind of.
I like it. I love it.
The internet's always on. So
yeah,
you can work
you're right.
You like.
Megan, I want to thank you so much for what you've done. The site is called CoffeeCupsAndCrayons.com. Megan, have a great holiday, and thank you for being with us.
You too. Thank you so much.
Rich Lozinski, thank you so much for working behind the scenes with us. He's the man who's been our engineer and also our screener today. Thank you very much for producing a program. Well, make sure we acknowledge his hard work behind the scenes. And I love the energy that Megan had. Wasn't that cool? That just she's taken her skill as a teacher and she's applied it. And by the way, it's a great place to go. Coffee, cups, and crayons.
Perhaps one too many coffee cups.
Yeah. I don't know about bending over and pick up a penny, but if your kids start throwing out dollar bills, I'll probably get those, yeah.
Or loonies if you're in Canada.
Yeah.
They don't blow away. Well, I've asked this question in the first hour. Normally, in the second hour, we answer tech questions that people have presented to us. And with the holidays, where our requests have been down online. We've had a few this week. But by the way, if you have a question out there that you'd like to have us and our tech team answer. What happens sometimes is when we shift off of doing the live program on WJR, people kind of figure we've gone and they don't send us the questions anymore. You can continue to do that by simply going to internetadvisor.net. And when you get to the website, look for the contact button. Click on that. Or if you go to our podcast, at the very bottom of the podcast, there's a comments box. You can put a question in there. Or through the contact form, send us an email with your question, and we work on them during the week and get the answers back to you.
And a lot of times, some people will ask us, when can I call in, even though you're taping? We'll tell you the time that you can call in and the phone number.
Yep, exactly.
You know, Foster, I did get a question this week on our website. There was a gentleman who said that he had some old computers and old flat screen computers that he wanted to donate, and he had heard us mention some place called Global and didn't know exactly what it was. was, and that's Steve Beck over at Global Tech Ministries.
That's right.
And I sent the information back to him, and he's going to get in contact with Steve and take it over. So if toward the end of the year you decide you want to clean up over the holidays, get rid of the old computers, don't just toss them out.
Excellent.
Steve Beck over at Global Tech Ministries would be more than glad to take it.
And you can talk to him about erasing your data as well, and he can reassure you about you know, how cautious they are about
that. They're very good at that.
Yeah, so I'll make sure to put that in our show notes as well, that we've got that for, because you're right, at this time of year, we often get people asking, what do I do with this old equipment? And by the way, don't think that it's too old to be serviceable to somebody. These will sometimes go to Africa, they will go to nations where they're very happy to have an XP computer.
Or if someone doesn't have a computer at all, XP computer is an upgrade beyond belief.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they'll take the XP off and they'll take and put something else.
A newer operating system on it. Exactly. That's a little more secure and easy.
And what they try to do is to tune the machines up so that they are in good working condition. And as simple as they are a gift, just really a boon to schools and to missions and in the United States as well. And we really appreciate the work that Steve has done over the years and are very happy to direct you in that direction. So we will make sure that you see that, Global Tech Ministries.
Which they can pick up off the internetadvisor.net site.
Yep, exactly. So a question I ask in the first hour, I'm going to repeat again, is with the Thanksgiving holidays, very often people like ourselves who have been involved in dealing with technology, or you guys, Ed and Cal in particular, and Carrie as well, I would imagine, you get questions from family members about, I have a problem with my computer, can you help? And I don't know. Did you get any of those help requests this time at Thanksgiving?
No, everyone was so full of turkey they couldn't even get up to the computer to use it. It was amazingly quiet this particular season. We had family over and stuff like that, and not one of them said anything about technology. They just kept shoveling it in their face.
No. The only thing I got is interface Bluetooth with my Cadillac, or a lot of the cellular phone cellular companies are pretty much giving away their little mini towers that you could put in your household.
Right.
Used to be a point in time where they would charge you $100, $200. I think it was, Kel, do you tell me, Sprint always gives them away.
Yeah.
But AT&T and Verizon, you really got to haggle. A lot of times you don't have to haggle. And you could really improve your cellular coverage, including your cellular data coverage in your house. And most of them, you have the ability to I only want to provide benefits for myself and my own little world here. But a lot of times you can also help your neighbors and say, you know, I don't care. I want to help everyone. And
this is the modem you're talking about?
No, this is the little booster that you connect up to your high-speed internet for so you can...
It's called a microcell.
Thank you.
Oh.
So you, if you have poor cellular coverage...
Yeah, yeah.
And we ran into this when we were in Port Huron. If you're on the beach... I don't know what it is about Canada's, but Canada's Rogers can come over the United States.
I know it.
But our AT&T and Sprint and Verizon, if we go to the shore, we got the Canadian police after us.
I know. What the other thing was roaming charges. You had to watch out in Port Huron. Yeah. Get nailed with roaming charges.
So
microcells, explain that to me again.
So you, Ed was doing a great job, I thought. It was, you can go to your cell provider, so AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, and say you have bad coverage in your home, and they are more likely than not now to talk to you, make sure that you really do have bad coverage in your home, but they'll give you this cell. Used to be they charge $100, and it's just a booster. It's a microcell.
Right? And it plugs into your high-speed internet connection, and then they register it, and then they, once you're on the internet and use it, it actually registers the GPS location so that it'll work properly and be registered as a microcell by the cellular provider. And usually, most of them, you have the ability to configure them just me and my family cell phones, and you register them and pair them, or you can help your neighbors, which is what we choose to do. And even in Royal Oak, 14 Mile, Tina's father, Sprint, no signal. So we opened one up there, last year.
You know, that's interesting because I have heard complaints, particularly about Sprint and T-Mobile.
They have a little less coverage.
Less coverage. Although T-Mobile has just expanded their coverage, especially in that lower end, the LTE, was it the 700? band, that lower band, Ed, you were talking about
I thought it was a 900 megahertz.
Oh, it was a 900 megahertz? Okay. That they're expanding it there. But the idea is, anyway, you can get this booster. I love that. And because a lot of times we've had people over the years on the show here saying, how can I get a better signal?
And Cal would talk about it quite a bit because they would get Cal on the phone to haggle for these. He would champion because, you know, Cal loves to haggle.
Well, you know, it's not only is it the sport of the game, but the principle there, and that is you have paid X amount of dollars a month for a service, and you should be getting a service, not a promise of service.
Yes.
Not a maybe service, but a service, especially if you're in the middle of a metropolitan area. I think there's no excuse for that. Yeah. If you're way out in Podunk, Iowa, and, you know, you're 50 miles from the nearest telephone pole, that might be an issue in that particular case. But in a metropolitan area, you should be able to get cell service, and it shouldn't be a problem.
And they want you to use their service.
Right? Yes.
If they can't get it, right, you're going to go someplace else. You're going to go one of the competitors. Yep. So exactly. They don't want
that. And these microcells now are about the size of an Altoids, you know, mint tin. I mean, they're really tiny now.
They're tiny.
Oh, really? So mine's a lot higher than that.
You need an upgrade.
I guess I do. It's like 6 inches by 6 inches. And
yeah, and they come with like a little connector that you could, like with a 25-foot cord that you run over to the window and it suction cups to the window. There are many different designs.
Oh.
That way this unit can stay close to your computer and the high-speed internet or wherever your cable modem provides.
Yeah.
And then the antenna
to transmit will be out by the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Guys, what do you think of this? I was listening to a program the other day. They were talking, and was a bunch of techs who had talking about the questions and the requests they get at Thanksgiving and the holidays, you know, for service, the geek squad for the family. One guy said the biggest piece, well, I'm just curious, what do you think was the first piece of advice that he hands out or question that he asks about?
Should I get a Mac or a PC?
Nope. The first question he asked.
The first question asked of a geek?
No, of somebody who has a problem with their computer.
How to turn it on?
Actually, it's the opposite of it. How to turn it off.
Okay.
What's the last time you turned off your computer? Because they were saying it's so often rebooting.
Yes.
We'll clear off a bunch of things, yeah.
Oh, that would be their answer to the other person's question.
Yeah, exactly. I got a problem with my computer. Won't do this, won't be that. And the first question they ask is, when's the last time you turned it off?
That's true. And Gary was always touted that.
Right.
Yep.
You know, put it in standby, you know.
Yeah, I hardly ever turn them off. I turn off my Surface just by closing it.
I turn mine off once a week. I actually turn the power off.
Yeah.
I do the same thing with my telephone.
Back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
It's the Internet Advisor, hour number two of our program today, and I hope that you've enjoyed our program so far. Rick Broyd on the first hour talking about shopping tips for this holiday season. By the way, if you missed any part of that, simply go to internetadvisor.net and you will see a place where you can, on Sunday nights, click on that and download the entire podcast so you can hear that first hour as well. And this hour, in just a moment, we're going to be talking with Dominic Serra, who is the owner of Metro Wireless in downtown Detroit, talking about kind of the next stage of internet connectivity that is coming to Detroit. And we'll talk about some of the future there. Before we get there, though, I wanted to step back for just a moment. And because we finished kind of quickly with Mike Brennan, every week we have Mike on sharing some of the headlines that are available to you. And MI Tech News to You actually comes in two packages now, and they're both free. On Wednesdays, he delivers a whole audio package, and that has links to podcasts like his M Squared podcast or IT in the D or our Internet Advisor podcast. They're all part of that there, as well as a number of other audio links that you'll find. On Fridays, you'll be getting an email delivery of some key headlines about technology and entrepreneurship throughout the state of Michigan. And that's some of the things that we were talking about today as well. And again, that's all free, and you can avail yourself of either one of those for nothing.
simply by going to either mitechnews.com or to internetadvisor.net. And when you get there, you click on our podcast, any one of the podcasts, and you'll see Mike's smiling face as you scroll down the page, and a click for helping you to subscribe. And it's just simply a matter of putting in your email address, and you're on the way to getting that delivered to you every week. As I said before, we're delighted to have with us today somebody who is helping Detroit connect to what you might say is, I think in some ways, guys, the next level of connectivity. It's been around, but I think to my mind, it is like the new wave, plugging Detroit really in many ways into the cloud at high speeds. And that is Dominic Serra is with us. He's the owner of Metro Wireless. And Dominic, thanks for being with us here on the Internet Advisor.
Foster, thank you so much for having me today.
Dominic, am I overstating things that you are plugging us into the next stage of the Internet?
Well, I believe that someday most terrestrial connections will be delivered over wireless as opposed to fiber, actually, Foster.
Very interesting. So nowadays, what you're doing and you're handling is primarily, though, wired. Am I right?
That is correct.
Okay.
What we're doing is basically delivering typical traditional wireline service, but using fixed wireless technology as the primary delivery medium for that delivery. So as where, you know, you've got quite a few companies in town that run fiber optic technology, and as do we in some cases, we primarily use wireless technology on the rooftop as opposed to fiber coming into the street to deliver the connectivity that businesses need to run their operations and have a robust and solid communication with their customers.
Now, that's interesting because I would have thought that it would have been the other way around. The fiber would have been the main connection to this link. But what you're saying is you avoid the need for running all that coaxial or fiber lines, and you do it wirelessly.
Well, yes, you know, really, it comes down to two main factors, and that is the cost of delivery for the service and the speed that we can deliver it. So with wireless technology, we're afforded the ability to oftentimes circumvent a lot of the problems that exist when you're running fibers into a building.
Sure.
And that's really what it comes down to. So, you know, right now you've got these guys downtown, everybody's been hyping about the Rocket Fibers, and some of the other companies that have come in and spent, you know, millions and millions of dollars to bring connectivity into the buildings. And what we're finding is with our delivery method is that we can, usually get the circuit in faster. So, you know, we're actually beating the delivery time of the fiber, and we're doing it for less cost and simply passing that cost on to the customer and saving them, from paying, the top dollar, for fiber optics. So that's really that's the simplest approach that we take. We also do a lot with Wi-Fi services as well, and that's a kind of an emerging technology that, you know, is really coming into play now. We're seeing businesses rely more and more on the Wi-Fi as opposed to their wireline LAN connections in the office. You know, they're walking around, they're taking their cell phones, they're collaborating in different ways than maybe we did in the past. So that's where we come into play, and we build these high power, ultra fast, robust Wi-Fi networks. And we also give the customers the ability to basically monitor and manage that in the cloud, as opposed to through a legacy hardware controller that's in their office. So it kind of gives them some different options there, as opposed to what most others offer.
Well, fascinating, Cal.
So, Dominic, are you sticking primarily with businesses only, or will you be branching out to residential?
At the moment, we're strictly for business. That's really the main focus of it. A lot of the services that we provide are really kind of customized, you know, for the small to medium business, but we do work with some enterprise as well.
So if, let's say I had a business that was more uptown in Detroit, let's say a college campus on the northwest side, would your wireless be able to transmit from down there to a receiver up here, and then we could, get that type of bandwidth in that area?
Well, yeah, we right now we cover about 80% of the city. We've got points of presence outside of Detroit as well. Actually, we're just about to announce that we've turned up the 1000 Town Center in Southfield. We've got quite a bit going on in that area. So we're building a network in the region. And our goal is by the end of 2016 to have delivered service to 100% of Detroit proper, meaning that we will be able to cover virtually every business in the city of Detroit with some level of service.
Wow. What is the response in the business community? Are we getting businesses in that are using this kind of service? I mean, is this become a point of attraction for business in Detroit?
Well, I think one of the things it does is really breaks down the barriers of entry for a lot of businesses. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've received the call from a business owner or an IT director, and they say, we thought we were going to have our fiber in, or we thought this was going to happen, and it turns out that it's not happening.
Mm.
And now we find ourselves in a pinch. You know, what can you do for us? And we say, well, we can bring you service pretty quickly. And over the years, it's given me the opportunity to work with some of the best and brightest. And maybe not in the scenario where they would expect to be using us. It would more like a scenario where they had something planned, it didn't mm-hmm. work out, and then they go to the wireless. But also, interestingly enough...
Oh, I see.
Enough,
so they can start with the wireless.
Well, yeah. A lot of times it can be a backup circuit or a disaster recovery type scenario. But we also see customers that have actually shut fiber optic technologies off and gone to microwave as a primary. And that's, believe it or not, there's customers that... just see, it's a better value.
Mm-hmm.
We can do some things that maybe the others can't, and it ends up that, they end up going, dropping the fiber altogether. And we've seen
that
on many occasions. Actually.
I'm sorry, Ed, you had something, and then to Gary. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, it sounds like what you've done, what you're introducing is that basically fiber is at one level of, cost per month. And plus you got to pull permits, and usually there's construction and you got to get Ms. Dig involved. But are you saying that you're lowering the bar in how much it costs to provide high-speed internet for medium to small-size businesses?
I think businesses of all sizes can find value here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Gary, do you have something?
So I was just wondering about how many cells would it take to, it's not cell technology, but how many transmission points would you need to cover essentially all of Detroit?
For the kind of coverage that we're looking to do, we're thinking it's going to take about 10 to 12 inside of the city proper.
Okay.
And that includes our assets, which are also circulating around the city as well. So it's quite a daunting task.
So we've been talking with Dominic Serra, the owner of Metro Wireless. And Dominic, thanks so much for being with us. Guys, it's been a ball here. Thank you so much for this post-Thanksgiving broadcast. I'm delighted to be able to do it with you folks. By the way, you can find the full 2 hours of this program starting on Sunday night. It's our podcast. You can go, by the way, to podcastdetroit.com. It's a new podcast network. You'll find our show there as well. Thanks so much again, Rich, for being our guide behind the glass. And the rest of you, have a great week.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.